This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Thursday, September 16th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's so always a pleasure to be with you to start your day. Happy Mexican Independence Day to all of our Mexican brothers and sisters, and of course those of Mexican origin as well. Today is also the memorial feast of the martyrs, Saint Cornelius and Saint Cyprian, and we start each hour giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every day when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Now, coming up momentarily, I'm going to share with you a special story of our adoption of my son with my dear friend and longtime Relevant Radio colleague, Sheila Logminas. A little bit later this hour, Alvaro Pereira, the executive vice president with Food for the Poor, will join us with a big thank you to all of our Relevant Radio listeners who responded to support our brothers and sisters in Haiti after that devastating 7.2 magnitude earthquake in August last month. And Catholic evangelist and author Omar Aguilar will tell us about five steps for giving your mind to Christ. And we'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. All that and much more coming up here this hour on Morning Air. As always, we have the power scripture from the Playbook of Life. Today's edition is from 1 Corinthians 13:4. The Apostle St. Paul writes, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. The Apostle St. John teaches us that God is love. Without love or charity, we have nothing. They will know that we are Christians because of our love. Love is the essence of the Christian life. Love is an action rather than a quality or a condition. Besides, love does patient and kind things. Love suffers for a long time and removes the burdens of others. According to the Apostle St. Paul, love is not related just to feelings or sex, but to joy and truth. It's not egocentric, but centered on others. When God speaks of love, it means something very different from what we mean. Let's learn about God's love, who is love itself. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. And now I want to share a special story of God's divine providence and talk about the gift of adoption. Hey, do you know anybody personally who's adopted or an adoptive parent? Are you waiting for a child yourself? Well, around 2 million couples in our nation are waiting to adopt right now. 14 years ago, my wife and I were one of those couples after 2.5 years of marriage and no baby. And then a miracle happened after praying at the tomb of Pope St. John Paul II. And that miracle happened in part because of our dear friends and my longtime colleague here at Relevant Radio, Sheila Logminas, and her husband, Dr. Dale Logminas. It's an amazing story that unfolded in what I like to call storybook fashion. And joining us now to share the story with me for the very first time in public together is my sister in the Lord and dear friend Sheila Logminas herself. Good morning, Sheila. Welcome to Morning Air. It's so good to be with you once again. And could you believe it? Today is Joseph Dominic's 14th birthday.
Oh my gosh, John, I can't believe that. That little baby, I can't believe it's so tall and so big and The little man we've always called a little man is now a big young man, still young, but quite tall. And he's so handsome, John. He's always been from birth. But yeah, you and I have said his whole life that someday we should tell this story together in public. And though you've told the story a lot across the country, you and I have never done it together until right now. So this is Sheila, a singular blessing.
This is so special. And, you know, you reminded me that there's Mexican Independence Day flags all over the Chicago area and in many parts of the country. So first of all, a happy Mexican Independence Day to all of our friends out there of Mexican origin. And every time I see those flags, it's always a reminder that Joseph's birthday is right around the corner because he was born on September 16th, Mexican Independence Day. Sheila, let's go back to September of 2007. You knew about this little baby before my wife and I did. Tell us how the birth mother came to your husband, Dr. Dale, and what happened.
Well, my husband was a long practicing OBGYN, and this was one of his patients, this woman. And so you and I, so separate track, you and I have long been friends, And so I already knew you and Cindy were looking to adopt and trying to adopt. And I even knew, John, that, you know, even though we didn't talk a lot, but we did talk, you know, periodically, I knew you had hit some sort of a lot of couples do, a glitch, a wall, a hardship. Like, in other words, it just was not happening. And yet you wanted fervently to adopt a child. So I knew that, you know, of course, I would mention that around the house just in conversation because Dale knew you too. So again, my husband, Dr. Dale Logminas, OBGYN, delivered a lot of babies and speaks, you know, near perfect Spanish. And a lot of his patients were Mexican and other nationalities. But so this woman, believe it or not, John, all of the pregnancy that he followed, you know, regular checkups and so forth, he calls me one day urgently when I'm preparing to get in the car and go to mass. He calls me with an urgent, his voice sounded very urgent. He said, he asked, is your friend John Morales still looking to adopt a baby? And I said, yes, as far as I know. It was a surprise. I mean, I thought, wow, this came out of the blue. And he said, when he told me real fast, John, that only after this woman delivered this beautiful little baby boy did she open up and pour out her heart and tell him her situation. And her situation was, God bless her for bringing him to life and giving him life. And she, with that love that a birth mother does this, she appealed to him for his help, because as many women in this situation, she had, if we call it a crisis, an urgency, she had a desperate need for adoption to find him a forever home and forever family. But it had to be fast because she was going to be released from the hospital the next day, which would have put the whole thing in a whole different situation. So he asked me and I said, well, let me call him and I'll let you know, meaning call John Morales. So I get
before we get to the phone call, let me backtrack 10 days, actually 12 days at that point. We go back to September 6, 2007. I was in Rome to attend a sports and faith conference. I visited St. Peter's Basilica. I prayed on my knees in front of the tomb of my hero, John Paul II, St. John Paul the Great, for a number of intentions. And one of them was the gift of a baby. Lord, please send us a baby. I had no idea what was about to happen 10 days later in Elmhurst, Illinois.
No, nor did I. I mean, I'm preparing to go to mass and my husband calls and with urgency in his voice asks, is your friend John Morales still hoping to adopt a baby? Does he still want to adopt a baby with in his wife? I said, as far as I know, I think so, yes. Let me call him. And he told me really fast the situation. I said, I'll find out right away as soon as I can reach John. So I got in the car to make mass on time, but knowing it was a drive, I called you right away from the car.
Never forget it. Sheila. It was about 5 in the afternoon.
It was
September 18th because it was 2 days after he was born. I get this phone call out of the blue, and it was a call that would change our lives forever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, all three of you, you, Cindy, and Joseph. So I called you on the way to mass. I said, John, I'm on the way to mass. Dale just called me, and I just blurted it all out as fast as I could. I said, but he needs to know right away. She's being released from the hospital tomorrow, and this is very important that they know your answer right away. And, you, of course, that would fluster anybody, right? So you were you know, yes, I think so. I need to call Cindy. Of course, that's wonderful because, you know, the spouses need to talk with each other, the would-be parents. So I said, okay, I'm on my way to Mass. I'll tell you what, I was a little bit casual about it, saying, you know, we do need to know, but I'm going to Mass. So if you leave a voicemail, I'll get back to you as soon as I'm out of church. And I wasn't very far away from church. So I told you, just give me a call back when you find out from Cindy and you have an answer. So I'm still driving to church, John, and my phone rings and it's you. And you said you called Cindy at work and she said something, my memory is something to the effect of, are you kidding me? You should have told her yes. Tell her yes right now.
Are you kidding me? Yes. Are you kidding me? I'll never forget it, Sheila.
You called me that fast, John, and you said yes, yes. And so I said, okay, John, I'm going to Mass. I'm going to pray for you and call Dale the minute I get out of church. So I did. And since he needed to know for this woman the very next day, you can tell the story of how you and Cindy needed to be at Elmhurst Hospital the very next morning.
Well, we started praying that night, right after you called us. We went into big-time prayer mode. We started praying to Our Lady of Guadalupe. We started praying the rosary. We put it in God's hands, and I mean, we just prayed. We prayed. I remember on the way to the hospital the next day, that morning, praying to Our Lady of Guadalupe in a state of nervousness and high anticipation. I remember making a phone call to my friend Dan Shealy, an attorney, asking for legal advice. What should we do? And he was so unbelievable in giving us legal advice on what to do when we meet the birth mother. We walk into the hospital and the birth mother is breastfeeding the baby. And my wife is thinking, that is not a good sign. it was amazing, you know. And Sheila, we're in that hospital room and we talked for, it seemed like hours, like 2 to 3 hours in Spanish. Yeah. And somehow I was able to convince her that we would make a good family, that we were Catholic and that we were believers in the Lord and that we would take care of this baby. And just like that, she handed the baby to my wife and we walked out of the hospital. My wife always jokes and says it was an 18-hour pregnancy with no stretch marks.
Yeah, Cindy's so like that. John, I remember you won her over for many reasons, just by being who you are, the couple you are, being who you are. She's Mexican. It was just so providential that, you know, of course, that conversation in Spanish was perfect. She's now seeing that my son will be raised as his forever family by someone who can speak to him in my language. But at the same time, you know, in learn English in America, live a life with this beautiful family. And the kicker, if you will, if this is all stunning, he looks exactly like you. And so that it was so meant to be. Joseph was meant to be your son. I see John every year of his life when you show me the pictures, and whenever I see him, I think, oh my gosh, this was so meant to be, that you and Cindy were his family, were going to be his parents. He was going to be your son. God meant for this to be, and it's just a humbling experience to merely be instruments with my husband of bringing the two of you together. It's
oh,
just
Sheila,
so humbling.
Believe me, and we're so grateful. Let me tell you a little bit more of the story. So we come out of the hospital. Our friend Dan, the attorney, had said to us, hey, do not do the exchange in the hospital. Make sure you do it outside the hospital. So we drove to a nearby Jewel food store, the parking lot, and that's where we exchanged the baby. We received the baby in a little car seat with his blankie and a bottle and a couple of supplies, and that was it. And I remember we walked into the store, we're looking for formula, for bottles, for diapers. We had no idea what was going on. It felt like it was a dream. It didn't even feel like it was real. And on my way to Cindy's sister's home, and she had a lot of baby supplies, it was like a beam of light that hit me that said, you are to name this baby Joseph. And so we named him Joseph in honor of St. Joseph. How perfect for this year of St. Joseph.
Right.
And Dominic.
Right.
So he's Joseph Dominic after the great Dominican, St. Dominic. So he became Joseph Dominic at that moment. And it took a couple of months of legal stuff. And I'll never forget the last thing that I said to the birth mother when she came over to visit us before she actually signed the documents to make the adoption legal. She said to me, would you promise me that you'll take care of my baby? And I looked her in the eye and I said, I promise to take care of him as if he was my very own flesh. And that was the last time that I've ever seen her and her husband. We've never seen them again. But I know that we have lived up to that promise, and I just count my blessings. So every year on the 16th of September, Mexican Independence Day, I remember this gift from heaven that the Lord and Our Lady provided for us. And Sheila, you were such an important part. The Lord used you as an instrument to bring this gift of adoption to our family.
See, John, that's what my feeling I want to extend out to all of our listeners, and that is always be prepared and open for when God and where God and how God wants to use you. You never know when that's coming. That sudden phone call from my husband with the sudden startling news about this lady who gave birth to this baby boy, this beautiful baby boy, asking about your openness to adoption, your desire for adoption. All of it happens so fast, and I want to reinforce what you just said. You wound up doing, of course, everything very legally, by the book, by the papers, by the law. You did the exchange with through the paperwork with the birth mother, and then you and Cindy became the father and mother, the forever family of Joseph Dominic.
Forever family, because it was not just us. It was also my mother, his grandmother, our family. He became part of the family, la familia in Espanol. And so it's so moving. I'll never forget his baptism, Joseph's baptism.
I know.
You were there. He was baptized on the Feast of Christ the King that year. What a special day to be baptized.
Indeed it was, John. In fact, if I remember, am I remembering Christ the King Sovereign Priest? A parish, or was it another different? Whatever.
St. Philip the Apostle, actually, in the north suburbs of Chicago.
St. Philip the Apostle. And I remember standing there teary eyed that I still can't believe this is happening. This beautiful little baby being baptized into the Catholic faith, into the Catholic Church. My good friends, John and Cindy Morales, are now the parents of this beautiful child, always meant to be. I knew John at that moment. So young was this baby that he was meant to be your son. You were meant to be his parent. So this is a message, as you said at the open, everyone out there who has a hope, but then they feel their hopes are dashed, just give it over to God in prayer, as you, John, did, and be open for anything. Foster care, adoption. There are so many children waiting to be adopted and so many people who want to adopt. I just want all the time, John, to bring them together. But in this case, God made it happen with this woman, my husband, the delivering doctor, and then calling me and me calling you.
And don't forget JP, too. St. John Paul II, the Pope of the culture of life. I left my business card at his tomb. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
With all my heart, praying, Lord, please send us a baby. I mean, I get emotional when I just reflect back, Sheila, but it's just such an unbelievable story. By the way, Joseph is not so little anymore, as we alluded at the beginning. He'll always be my little man, but he's now about 5'10", taller than myself. He's in eighth grade at Northridge Prep in suburban Chicago, Niles, Illinois, where Father Rocky used to be the chaplain. That's how I learned about Northridge Prep. He bats left, throws right, and he's quite a little soccer player, a goalie as well. So I'm just so proud of our little man, of Joseph Dominic. He is absolutely, Sheila, the joy of our life, of our lives. He's also a never-ending reminder of God's infinite love and plans for all of us, his divine providence, the sanctity of life. He taught us so much about parenthood, the meaning of love and sacrifice. And I just want to take a moment to say happy birthday, Joseph, Dominic, and Sheila. I cannot put into words how much I thank you for what you did for our family.
Thanks be to God. It was the hand of God, and we were mere instruments. And Dale and I are so honored and humbled and grateful that we were able to even just facilitate this in some small way, and then just step back and let God, you know, bring you all together and be in your life to see these incredible pictures and see Joseph. He is amazing, and he will, no matter how old you know, you see him grow to be John. He will always be your little man. And yes, St. John Paul II facilitated that as well. Thanks be to God. It's a beautiful thing.
Thanks be to God. We love you and thank our Lord and our Lady for you and Dr. Dale. Thank you so much again, Sheila.
Thank you. Thank you, John. And happy birthday, Joseph. Happy birthday. God bless you.
Thanks so much. The one and only Sheila Logmanis, Catholic journalist par excellence. I want to remind you that you can always listen to all of our Morning Air podcasts or any segment that you want to share with others. You can download it on the Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com. We need to take a break. When Morning Air continues, Alvaro Pereira, Executive Vice President with Food for the Poor, will join us to thank our Relevant Radio listeners who responded to support the suffering people of Haiti after the devastating earthquake in August. Do stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air as the show continues after this timeout.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
27 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Now, just about a month ago, Haiti was devastated by a 7.2 magnitude earthquake and Tropical Storm Grace as well. We would like to share some good news thanks to the generosity of our Relevant Radio listeners during the August pledge drive. We're able to bring much needed help to our Haitian brothers and sisters. And now joining us for an update on the situation in Haiti is Alvaro Pereira, Executive Vice President of Food for the Poor. Good morning, Alvaro. Welcome to Morning Air. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
This morning, and especially, like you said, you know, sharing some good news really for the people of Haiti who have been so much pain, really, but we know that united we can all help them, and we can all bring the hand of God into answering some of those prayers after the earthquake.
Absolutely. Alberto, can you give us an update on the situation in Haiti on this day?
Yeah, the issue with Haiti is that just in general, right, people are in tremendous need on a regular basis. And the reason for it is really not because people in Haiti are lazy. It's because people in Haiti haven't had the right opportunities and some of the opportunities that we have had in this country where we have constant stability. In Haiti, if it's not one thing, it's another one, right? They had political issues. They had the murder of the president, right, a few months, then the earthquake. But then after the earthquake, they had a horrible storm that hit pretty much the same area where the epicenter of the earthquake was. And then the roads from the main port and the main city into the area of the epicenter were blocked. There were 2-3 miles that were blocked by gangs that were not allowing the trucks to move and the goods to move from the capital city into the area. Finally, God wins, right? And finally, the gang members, you know, who are humans and also have a heart, and we have to pray for them, but they opened their eyes to the goodness, really, of the Lord. And they did. They opened it up and they said, look, we're going to stop holding the aid to the people of the earthquake. And they did it for a few days, and we were able to move a lot of goods into the area. Unfortunately, what happens is that, you know, people are in dire straits on a regular basis. There are too many kids. Over 60% of the population, really, in the country, is in one way or another one suffering from hunger on a regular basis. The same thing happens with the income of the people is very low. We're talking about people earning less than the majority of the people in the country earning less than a couple of dollars a day. There is a lack of opportunity that's very difficult in the country. But you know what's not lacking is faith.
Absolutely. And it's been amazing, the outpouring of support that has been sent to the island of Haiti, our Relevant Radio listeners doing their part, but many people all over the world stepping up to the plate and helping out in whatever way they can. What have been some of the efforts that have been done over there, and what are the needs right now here about a month after the devastation?
You know, something that is really interesting to me is that, you know, omni and bono, right? I mean, all for the good. And what we have seen is that we have seen the same Haitians in the country move very quickly to help their brothers and sisters in need. So one of the interesting things that I love to see, I mean, and I hate to, you know, kind of take away the shift of the situation of the earthquake, but and put it on the people that are helping their own. You know, our organization has been in Haiti for 37 years, and we have a team of 400 Haitians that work in the organization. We work with a network of over 3,000 organizations, and those are the organizations that are helping in those areas, and make this work so much easier because we can respond very quickly. So those 400 people that work at Food for the Poor, I call them the heroes. And it's not only them, the ones that are really helping their own in Haiti. But let's focus on those 400 people that work at Food for the Poor in Haiti. They are all Haitians, no North American, no expats in there. They woke up, and as soon as they heard the news from the earthquake, they started moving along, and they went to our very large warehouse in Port-au-Prince, and they started moving trucks into the area. They are heroes. They're heroes because they woke up. It was basically on the weekend. They woke up and they came from their home, and they knew that they had to help, and they knew that they were the hand of God here on earth to do something for those people that were in pain and were suffering. And the amazing thing is that one thing leads to the other one, right? I mean, to date, they have moved over 100 truckloads into the area. Interesting thing, though, is that those truckloads are distributed by churches and church-based organizations, because the church is always there. The church, the good Catholics and Christians in Haiti, are always there to help others. So what we have done is we have funneled all of that, all of the help from Relevant Radio is also being funneled through those churches, through those people, to be able to help their brothers and sisters. Because the reality is that where is it that people go first in an emergency? They go to the church, they go to the local priest, they go to the local bishop, and literally knock on their doors to ask for help, because you know what, that's where they see where God is present, and that's where they know that their prayers are going to be answered. So those are the people that we need to support, right? Those local people that are heroes, really. They probably have not slept since the earthquake. I know that, for example, our team, they have only taken one day off since the earthquake. But the beautiful thing too is that when we come united and we do things in order, then the Holy Spirit takes over. And then that's when we go from adding to multiplying, right? You know, God multiplies the effects and the efforts of everybody. Let me share with you something really neat about the help of all the listeners from Relevant Radio. So this happened very quickly. The support, really, and the unity between Food for the Poor and Relevant Radio. But very quickly, we were able to move, and we obtained 2 truckloads of food, each one with 40,000 pounds. We're talking about probably 480,000 meals that are badly needed, and they're on their way already to Port-au-Prince, and then on their way to the affected area by the earthquake. The same thing, what is it that people need right now in Haiti? Because there were over 30,000 homes that were destroyed in the earthquake area. Tents so that they can sleep. Tents so that the kids can go to school. So we're also we consolidated many tents, and they're on their way there. If they're not there or already, really, I mean, because we moved the goods really quickly. That's one of our strengths at Food for the Poor. Medical supplies, masks, wipes, blankets, pharmaceuticals, and food that is not just, you know, rice and beans, but it's prepared with vitamins and prepared with proteins that people can cook really easily. So again, united, we have been really what I call representing Christ in the eyes and in the need of the people in Haiti.
Without a doubt. We're speaking with Alvaro Pereira, Executive Vice President of Food for the Poor, who's been giving us some great news and update on what's going on in Haiti after the earthquake last month in August. I want to take a moment to say thank you to our very, very generous Relevant Radio listeners who responded with 10% of our August pledge drive and donated to help the people of Haiti, to help for all that 480,000 meals, all the tents, all the medical supplies. This is where your dollars are going. You showed an incredible, generous heart. We thank the Relevant Radio listeners. Alvaro, it was an amazing response.
Yes, yes, it was. And, you know, the generosity of the people here in this country is quite impressive. I mean, sometimes it's hidden, but we see it coming out when people are in need. And I would say that I'm going to share, you know, just from my experience, really, of being in the field after many emergencies, and the eyes and the tears of the people that are praying for an answer are dry after they know that there's so many people, especially look at the listeners of Relevant Radio that are behind this and that are helping on a regular basis. Because, you know, at the end, we just represent Christ with those people. And we are the instruments of Christ that are answering those prayers. And I'll tell you something, if there are some people that are tremendous at praying are the Haitian people. They love they love God and they love the church, and they are very active participants on it, and they know, and they have tremendous faith, really, to expect what they need. You know, they're not asking for more than what they need. They're asking for the basic needs that they have in the moment that they're living.
And Alvaro, from a spiritual perspective, from a truly Christ-centered perspective, we're all doing the corporate works of mercy and helping in whatever way we can. I mean, when the people of Haiti only earn $2 a day, $10, $100 goes such a long way to help so many people. These really are corporate works of mercy, of the feeding the people with the food, the clothing, the water, the shelter, medicine, even helping to bury people after the earthquake. Yeah. So it's all a great way to shine the light of our Lord Jesus Christ on this island.
Yes, we are working with the bishops in the area to bury the dead in the area. You know, thanks to, and give them a proper burial. Thanks to the listeners of Relevant Radio, and yes, and you know, by coming together again, we are answering the needs of the people and the corporate works of mercy. Because as you see, you know, we are getting those 480,000 meals to feed the hungry. Food for the Poor, just the next day after the earthquake, we realized that the first few days after an earthquake, you have to provide people with the basic. And the basic, one of them is water. You can go much more days without food than you can go without water. So we obtained, it was 135,000 bottles of water to take it and give drink to the thirsty. And then, you know, clothing the naked is something that, you know, it's ongoing. And some of the truckloads from Relevant Radio have clothes in them because people have lost everything. And then once we move from there, from the immediate, really, we have to look at the long-term activities, right? And we are planning on sheltering the homeless, not only with the tents, but also with permanent homes. We're looking at working with 500 families in the area to be able to provide them with homes. So there's a lot of activity going on. And there's a lot of activity going on, though, because of the support of everybody and coming together and really backing up what Christ wants us to do. His hand is there. It's present. We have to see it. We have to realize that that's the way it is. And you know what? Let's rejoice that we can, in this country, be generous with so many people. And let's rejoice that God has provided us with the means of coming together through Relevant Radio, really, and also with Food for the Poor, to be able to respond quickly and to be able to respond in a way that's trustworthy, because that's something that's important, right? Too many things happen in emergencies, but know that through Relevant Radio, through Food for the Poor, through the churches in the area, people are being fed, people are being provided with water, they're being clothed, and et cetera, et cetera. So this is a wonderful thing. I get very excited to talking about this because it is beautiful to see how when we come together, Christ multiplies our effect.
Open your hearts if you feel that you want to further contribute, foodforthepoor.org. Alvaro, I just want to thank you for all the great work that your organization, Food for the Poor, is doing, for all the hard work and efforts in helping to provide for those suffering people in Haiti. Thank you so much, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John. We appreciate it. God bless you.
Many blessings to you. Alvaro Pereira, Executive Vice President of Food for the Poor. We need to take a break. When we come back, Catholic evangelist and author Omar Aguilar will talk about 5 steps for giving your mind to Christ. Don't change that dial. We have a lot more coming on this edition of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Mexicana hermosa, bandera latina, no te pongas triste, solo mira el cielo.
Si la noche se cubre de estrellas.
46 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air and happy Mexican Independence Day. I'm John Morales. Always a blessing to be with you. Our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Saint Teresa of Avila stated that the mind is the loca de la casa, the mad woman of the house. What does this mean? It's very difficult to control our thoughts, most especially our imagination. Now, despite the difficulty of that challenge, still we must put forth the most noble of efforts. Saint Paul encourages in Romans 12:2. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, joining us to talk about 5 steps to giving your mind to Christ is Catholic evangelist Omar Aguilar, the director of religious education for Mary Immaculate Church in Farmers Branch, Texas, in the Diocese of Dallas. Omar is also the host of several Catholic and pro-life programs on Spanish radio and television and the author of the book Latino Católicos en los Estados Unidos. Buenos días. Good morning, Omar. Welcome back to Morning Air. Happy Mexican Independence Day. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Oh, no, and thanks for the music. It was wonderful. Happy Thursday to you, John. Thank you so much. I'm super excited.
Absolutely. Well, we were thinking about you. I know you are Mexican, and it's a big day for you and for the Mexican people and anyone in this country of Mexican origin. Just real briefly before we talk about having our mind on our Lord, just what does this day mean for the Mexican people?
Well, definitely, I always think about when I think about Independence Day, definitely we have to think about our Blessed Mother, the grace and the gift that we have, that she's there in Mexico City with us. And that throughout the years, you know, we've always been a Catholic nation. Sadly, over the last, 20, 30 years, that's kind of fading away, or we're losing that. So Independence Day, it's also a reminder that about our faith, about Christ, that he's always with us, that his mother, Pig or Nation, to stay there, to be with us permanently. So Independence Day, once again, is a reminder about our faith as well, to always remain faithful to Christ and to keep giving the good battle.
Absolutely. You cannot separate Our Lady of Guadalupe, the patroness of all the Americas, not just Mexico, from what this day means for Mexico. Thanks for that little synopsis, Omar.
Absolutely. No, and once again, thanks for the song. It just made my day. I'm ready to go now.
All right. So glad. Now, let's talk about putting our mind on our Lord. There's a dynamic in the human person, the way God, the Creator, constructed us. Can you tell us about how this unfolds?
Absolutely. And I love Romans chapter 12, the first few verses, one of my favorite passages in the whole scripture. It's just this challenge that St. Paul presents to us and how to behave and how to live our lives. And it's funny because just a couple of days ago when I was picking up my kids from school, my five-year-old was trying to explain to his older siblings about the senses. And he said, "Do you know that we have five senses?" And all of these things. And he was going on and on and on. Obviously, the older siblings were like, okay. But I was fascinated because, you know, this little five-year-old, he's getting to understand that through the senses, we learn about the world, we learn about who we are, and we also, that's how we interact with everybody else. So the senses are an important part of who we are, and that's how the world communicates to us. That's how we communicate with the world, but also that's the way how we get close to God. We can communicate to God through our senses. With those things that we see, the things that we say, the things that we eat, the things that we touch, and how we feel. So senses are an important part of who we are, and sometimes we just take them for granted, or we believe that they're not important. But as St. Paul beautiful, masterfully stated in Romans chapter 12, we need to transform our mind, and our mind is transformed by the way we use these senses.
Omar, how can we cultivate our mind? Can you give us some practical advice on how we can go about thinking with, as St. Paul says, the mind of Christ?
Absolutely. Well, I guess first of all, you know, the first sense that we use is the things that we see. The things that we watch, the things that go into our minds. So always be mindful of the things that you come across. You know, nowadays it's very easy, even without thinking about it, open up your phone, I don't know, going into Twitter or Instagram or TikTok and come across things that might not be helpful, might not be healthy for your mind, for building yourself in the image and the like of Christ. So first of all, you know, be careful with the things that you're watching. Be careful with the things you're coming across. And once again, it could be by mistake or it could be a sin. It could be something that you're fighting with. So the beginning is always, you know, to me, it's like, okay, what am I watching today? Is this good? You know, for instance, in a movie, you're going to watch a movie. Okay, what is it about? What's the synopsis about? Is it rated R? Why is it rated R? You know, all of these tiny little things that you might think, nah, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. Yes, it does. And so let's start off with that. Be careful with the things that we watch.
Custody of the eyes is the way it's been referred over the years. It's so important to have that custody of the eyes because sometimes, I mean, it's something as simple as walking down the street and there's somebody that's not properly dressed, scantily clad, and you just can't look that way. You got to train yourself to look the other way.
Absolutely. And let us be honest, even sometimes happens during Mass, going to church.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes you come across people, but every time that I walk into a church, I remind myself, I'm here to see Christ. I'm here to receive Christ. And that will be the focus of my whole, I don't know, hour and a half time that I'm there. I'm there to see Christ. I'm there to listen to Christ. I'm there to talk to Christ. I'm there to receive Christ. And that totally change the dynamics. So it's also important that we do our parts to change the dynamics. How do we behave? How do we use our senses? And if we start doing it, even if it's little by little, if we start building our senses toward Christ, then we're on the right track. We're on the right way.
To get to know the Lord, I think it's so important to spend some time with the Lord. Many different ways that we can do that. What do you recommend?
Absolutely, you know, he's with us at all times, 24/7. It's just a matter of acknowledging that and keeping him close to us. And another thing, another good thing that we can do is find some solid reading. You know, what is it that we're reading online? What is the stuff that that is feeding our soul? You know, we were celebrating just what was it? I think yesterday or 2 days ago, we were celebrating the 700th anniversary of the death of Dante. And throughout this year, many universities, many groups are doing group studies of the Divine Comedy. That's a good reading. You know, let's build ourselves also with what we read. How do we approach the world in a good way that it gets us closer to God? So let's just not try to read good books. Let's try to read the very best books. You know, start off with the Bible. When was last time you picked up the Bible? When was last time you read the Gospels? When was last time you read any of the letters of St. Paul? And so it's important also that through reading, we build a solid foundation, because this is going to help us to behave. This is going to help us to understand the world. This is going to help us to react to the things, to the difficulties, to the challenges that the world will throw at us, because we will be close to God and He will be with us. He's already with us. We just need to acknowledge this. So reading is also very important to build a strong Catholic faithful mind.
Absolutely. And I think our relationships with others, that's also very important to have those good, enriching conversations with others.
Absolutely. You know, this is one of the biggest challenges, particularly when you're turning your world, your life into Christ, or where you're trying to go deeper into your relationship with Christ, that sometimes you'll find that perhaps some of your relationships, some of your friends are not helping you to get there. You know, and you're having this struggle, this battle within yourself, like, wait a minute, I really like these guys. They're my best friends. But at the same time, every time that I'm with them, well, I'm not doing nothing Christ-like. So what do I do? Well, you know, I always tell people, well, first of all, we got to pray for each other. Pray for your friends. Pray for your family members that perhaps might not be close to the Lord. And perhaps sometimes it's good to put a little space between you and them so you can build yourself to be like Christ, and then you can come back to them and definitely help them to open themselves, open up their hearts to Christ. But sometimes, you know, we got to be careful of who we hang out with, you know, who our friends are, because at the end of the day, we end up behaving like everybody else. We end up doing the things that they do. We end up speaking the way that they do. We end up, you know, acting like they act. And so if we are like Christ, well, that's what's going to happen as well. You know, we're going to behave like Christ. We're going to talk like Christ. And we want to, and at the end, we're going to want to bring everyone to Christ. So absolutely good relationships, good conversations.
Omar, final minute, the importance of the Holy Eucharist, if we really want to receive the mind of Christ.
Absolutely nothing beats this. You know, at the end of the day, it's all about receiving Christ in our life. It's all about being close to Him. And what a blessing do we have that He's still with us until the end of times through the Holy Eucharist. You know, every time that we receive Him, we are building ourselves to be more like Him, to be more faithful to Him. Even when we make mistakes, we know that we can always come back. We can always go to confession. And confession is not only good for, it's not only good for our souls, because it cleans us of the sin, right? It makes us purer. It makes us healthier. But at the same time, it allows us to take the maximum step, which is to receive Christ in the Holy Eucharist. So by all means, you know, every Sunday, and if it's possible during the week, let's get closer to God through the Holy Eucharist, which is Christ Himself, that He decided to stay with us because He loves us so much.
Absolutely. Omar, all great, very practical advice on how we can try to develop the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it reminds me of the Holy Father who has been urging people to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament in Eucharistic adoration. So sometimes just even a two-minute visit to the Blessed Sacrament will keep us connected to our Lord. Omar, thank you so much for being with us. As always, it's been a joy.
Oh, thank you so much, and blessings to everyone.
Many blessings to you. Omar Aguilar, the Director of Religious Education for Mary Immaculate Church in Farmers Branch, Texas. And now it's time for another Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called This is the Time to Give by Daniel Loy. Marquis de Lafayette was a French officer who provided invaluable assistance to George Washington and the struggling American army. After the war was over, he returned to France and resumed his life as a farmer on many estates. In 1783, the harvest was a terrible one, and there were many who suffered as a result. Lafayette's farms were unaffected by the devastating crop failures. One of his workers offered what seemed to be good advice to Lafayette. The bad harvest has raised the price of wheat. This is the time to sell. After thinking about the hungry peasants in the surrounding villages, Lafayette disagreed and said, "No, this is the time to give." God blesses us, not just for our own benefit, but also so that we can be a blessing to others in need. The tendency to hoard and try and build up more and more is a dangerous one, and the best antidote to greed is to be a generous giver. There is certainly no shortage of people in need today, and while we cannot meet every need, if we do what we can, God will multiply resources so that it is enough. Luke 6:38. Give, and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will, in return, be measured out to you.
Just a reminder, you can always download Glenn's podcast, The Story Corners, and this show at relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up on Morning Air next hour, Bishop Donald Hyang, the Bishop of Madison, Wisconsin, will join us to discuss your identity, purpose, and destiny as Catholic Christians. And our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, will be with us to talk about Pope Francis' latest apostolic trip to Hungary and Slovakia this week, in which he encouraged us to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Don't change that dial. There's a lot more to come next hour here on Morning Air when we come back.